Welcome to Peak Tales, a conversation about chromatography. Now here's your host, John.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Peak Tales podcast. Again, this is John. Today I'm having a conversation with one of our applications engineers, and we're talking about a topic that we're calling cannabinoid potency in chocolate and baked goods. Now, just a quick legal disclaimer here. Agilent products and solutions are intended to be used for cannabis control and safety testing in laboratories where such use is permitted under state and country law. So enjoy this episode and stay tuned. At the end, we'll have a special promo code for you, the loyal podcast listener. Let's get right to our discussion now. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Peak Tales podcast. I am here today with our friend Christoph. Christoph was on another episode of the podcast several months ago. Today, Christoph and I are going to be talking about potency testing in chocolate edibles. So, welcome back, Christoph. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
So why do we want to quantify cannabinoids in edibles like chocolate and other baked goods?
Well, before I start, I need to start with a little disclaimer or legal disclaimer here. So you need to know that Agilent's products and solutions, they are intended to be used for cannabis control and safety testing in labs where such use is permitted and under state and country law. Now, to answer to your question, why would you want to quantify this? Well, it's just for labeling purposes, right? Obviously, when more and more states and countries legalize cannabis-infused edibles, I'm thinking about those baked goods like cookies, brownies, things like that, and obviously chocolate. You want to make sure that this label is accurate for safety reasons, right, and for the sake of accuracy. And of course, you can also think about crime labs that seize things in the street. They also want to make sure that whatever they measure is accurate and precise, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's really a quality control thing, and then also consumer, you know, safety and control. That's why we're doing it, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, why is chocolate a challenging sample to work with?
I was wondering that too when I started my project in our Montreal lab. As soon as I started working with it, I realized that it's just, first of all, it's hard to process. You need to do something with this sample before you inject it in the instrument, right? There's no way this chocolate bar is going in the instrument. You need to do something with it. You need to grind it or melt it, right? And that's harder with chocolate because chocolate is sticky. And you can certainly not put that in a blender like this because it would start to melt. So you have several options to process that chocolate. You can decide to melt it, but however, you need to be cautious not to go too high in temperature to avoid degrading some of your analytes of interest. Or you can go the opposite way and freeze your sample. Cryo-milling is a very popular technique in the food industry to test for pesticides and contaminants in food. So when you freeze a sample at sub-zero temperature, you can actually have a very fine powder with high surface area to have optimal extractability. I personally like to make it more simple. I like to chop my chocolate with scissors, put them in a tube with stainless steel beads or even preferably ceramic homogenizers that are less expensive, and I shake it very aggressively with acetonitrile on a robot. The one I use is a Geno grinder, and that turns my chocolate into a very silky, homogeneous sample, a bit like milk chocolate. And that's the first part. So that's what makes it challenging to get to that step of a very nice, homogeneous sample. And then secondly, why is chocolate and those fat baked goods challenging? It's because there's a lot of fat. And initially, I thought that the fat was an issue more on the instrument side with clogging the LC columns and having dirty tubing in your instrument. But also, it it impacts your chromatography. So when you have a dirty sample, you need to make your gradient B run much longer, right, to try to flush out those lipids. And that's expensive because you have longer runs and you have more expensive solvent running through there. So lipids are a mechanical issue. But what we found out is that the lipids are a challenge because they actually precipitate those cannabinoids. So as we know, a THC, CBD, they're very, very fat soluble. And when the fats are in the sample, you cannot read them on your instrument. You can try to use a wavelength of 230 nanometers to be more precise or selective towards those cannabinoids. However, as soon as you have those fats, you see a decrease in UV signal. And I've even seen this on LC-MS-MS, again, because of this solubility issue that I've seen. And of course, chocolate has cocoa in there, and it has been documented in the scientific literature that cocoa has a lot of flavonoids, and they can bind to planar aromatic cannabinoids like CBN. And that reduces your UV signal again, and you're not accurate. So the fat thing, the fat challenge is not only clogging, dirty, but it's also impacting your accuracy. And that's why it's so important to remove it.
So, Christoph, I know you've got a solution for us. You wouldn't have explained all of that if you didn't have a way, an easy way to remove those fats.
Yeah, well, we did some research. We were looking at what has been done already and so on. And people are, to be honest, a bit desperate about this chocolate because it is so challenging and so on. So what can you do? Well, you can decide to simply throw in some solvent, methanol, ethanol, or acetonitrile, and try to dissolve your chocolate in there and filter it. But guess what? No fats are removed. It's very dirty, and you got the lipid issues that I just mentioned. So another approach is to use catchers, right? You would think, obviously, catchers is a top contender here because it's widely used in the food industry and so on. But for chocolate, it's not ideal. So catchers, they start with water, right? If you're familiar with that technique. And water does extract a lot of sugars, salts, and the cocoa that I was mentioning. So it actually makes a dirtier sample when you start with water with the catchers technique. And then the second step of catchers is to use dispersives, right, to try to remove that matrix, those interferences from your extract. But the catchers dispersives are not powerful enough for the dirty chocolate and baked goods like those cookies and so on, because there's so much fat. There's too much fat. You would have to do sequential dispersives, so many, many disperse it 2 or 3 times to get rid of all of this fat. And then guess what? You would also lose potentially some cannabinoids in there because it's not selective. So again, that nice option would have been easy, but not for chocolate. So other people, they said, oh, what about freezing my sample? I think you and I, or probably everyone has once at least made a nice homemade soup and put it in the fridge, and then next day you open your fridge and you see that layer of fat on the top, and you can scrape it off, right? So some people said, hey, what if we do this with chocolate? So you can actually freeze your chocolate at minus 80 or minus 20 and spin that, and it will very effectively remove your fats out of chocolate. However, it will also partially precipitate your cannabinoids because they are fat soluble, as we all know. So if you want to have high recoveries, what do you do? Well, I'm using a Captiva EMR lipids. It's an award-winning technology, and it's super simple. So basically, it's a filter. So what I have developed, like a technique, is to extract an acetonitrile, have that very homogeneous sample, and simply pour that into that Captiva EMR lipid filter. And proteins will get caught in the top frit, and lipids will be removed selectively without losing your cannabinoids. And in that one easy step, all the lipids are removed. And you know what? I inject that in UV and I see my signal up significantly. I see often 20% higher signal when I do that, showing how clean my sample is.
So it sounds like it's an effective method to solve a very common problem, and a problem that's getting even more common as we're seeing cannabinoids in, you know, so many other different products. Why don't you just summarize some of the benefits for us, and then we will have some resources on the show notes where people can go and click if they want more information on Agilent and how we can help them specifically with Captiva EMR lipid.
Yeah, there'll soon be an application note available where you can have a complete procedure with full data to demonstrate that. But bottom line, what I'd like to summarize is that I think labs are trying to find a more simple way to process those cookies, brownies, and chocolates. And they like it to be fast and robust, so it can have a high throughput in their lab and so on, so they can have lower cost per sample. And they don't want to have a procedure where they have to change their LC columns or have long LC runs with high organic to try to clean up that sample. So with this procedure here, Captiva EMR, you filter your acetonitrile extract, you can remove all the lipids, and as a result, you can have very high UV signal, high robustness, and most importantly, the accuracy that you were looking for.
Thank you so much, Christoph. We do appreciate the time you spent with us, and certainly your knowledge and the work that you're doing in the lab up there in Montreal. And I know we're going to have you back on the podcast. We've got a few other episodes kind of in the wings. We're getting ready to record. Let me just ask our listeners, if you found this interesting, to just share this, if you would, with your colleagues. And we have a large library of podcasts that have been out there. This is, again, season 2 of the podcast that we're recording this in. So there's a lot of information out there. If this particular episode was helpful to you or sparked some interest, I would say share it with your colleagues as a way of spreading this information and also helping us just educate one another. So thank you so much, Christoph, and I know we'll be hearing from you soon. Bye for now.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this important conversation. And I want you to look forward to some future episodes of the Pigtail Podcast. But right now, I'd ask you to share some of these with your colleagues. It's a great opportunity to get them to learn about things that they may not be familiar with. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and any of the other podcast apps where you can find us, certainly. And let me give you that promo code. The promo code for being a loyal listener is 1599-1599, only available in North America. And that gives you a one-time discount on some consumables and chemistries. There are certain restrictions that apply, and you can talk with your sales rep about all of that. But we want to provide that to you so that we can recognize you as a loyal listener. Tell your friends. That's pretty much the way podcasts get found and discovered, and how we can continue to bring you this great content. So we appreciate that and look forward to hearing from you soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Pigtails. For more information on what was discussed today, contact your local Agilent representative or go online to agilent.com.